Welcome to Behind the Story, a program where we take you straight to the source. In this special episode, we'll talk with Prosper Waco's Executive Director, Matthew Polk, and the organization's Director of Communication, Christina Helmick. We talk about defining exactly what Prosper Waco is, how it works, and the goals it has outlined to accomplish.
I'm Matthew Polk. I'm the Executive Director of the Prosper Waco Initiative.
And I'm Christina Helmick, and I'm the Director of Communication for the Prosper Waco Initiative.
Well, thank you both for talking with KWBU today.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Glad to be here.
So Prosper Waco, it's been around a while. I think people are familiar with the name, but they might not be, I think, as familiar with the exact goal or exactly what it does. And so it's kind of modeled on this collective impact, right? So,
absolutely.
So can you explain a little bit about what collective impact means and I guess where Prosper Waco falls in that design?
Sure, absolutely. So really what Prosper Waco is it's a community-wide initiative. And I think that's so key for folks to understand because our job as the very small staff, and I'm sure you can relate to that, a very small staff, is to help facilitate a broader community-wide initiative involving lots of partners, both community members on an individual level and organizations across many different sectors, businesses, nonprofits, schools, churches, hospitals, government entities. So collective impact is about having a way for multiple organizations, multiple stakeholders to come together and be really thoughtful and really strategic about how they work together to achieve some really big goals. And part of collective impact is to have what's called a backbone organization. Mm-hmm. So again, a small staff who can help keep that process going because collaboration's hard. It's hard, you know, we're all busy and no matter what kind of business you're in or what kind of organization you're involved with, you're busy, you got lots going on. Everybody wants to collaborate. They want to be more effective. They want to kind of build on each other's success and support what other folks in the community are doing. But that's hard to do. And so collective impact creates a model for doing that by having a small backbone that can help drive the conversation, who can convene stakeholders to have thoughtful conversations, help find ways to collaborate and work together and continually communicate so that everybody's kind of staying up to speed, kind of knows where things stand, knows what the opportunities are to get involved, to plug in, and everything keeps moving forward.
So Prosper Waco's that backbone.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we're not a nonprofit in the traditional sense that mm-hmm. we go out and run a bunch of programs or that we directly serve a lot of people in need, for example. There are a lot of great organizations in Waco that provide really good services, you know, on the nonprofit side of things and that you know, support people in the community and so forth. Our job is to support the supporters, to support the organizations that are out there in the community and create an environment where, as I said, organizations across lots of different sectors of the community are working together, have a space to come to strategize, to plan, to talk to each other, to communicate and so forth.
And when we're talking about a collective impact, where did the idea, I guess, come from to use that here in Waco? Because it's something that's seen nationally and, you know, across the world. But what was the thinking there that this could work here or what,
yeah,
what really kind of
– That's what's really interesting is because Waco's really on the forefront of this. I mean, this is a fairly recent movement, if you want to call it that. It's a fairly new model of how you kind of attack these you know, community-wide problems that all cities and all communities face and that, you know, all communities want to, you know, figure out how to deal with in terms of eliminating poverty and providing more opportunity. But Waco is – we've realized over the last year that we've been doing this, had lots of feedback from different partners outside of Waco and even outside of Texas who have said, wow, you're really far down the road on this in terms of implementing this collective impact approach. And so that's, you know, that – is very much a reflection on the thinking and leadership of the individuals who started the Prosper Waco Initiative. So our current mayor, Malcolm Duncan, and mm-hmm. our former mayor, Virginia Dupuy, and the other original Prosper Waco board members, as well as the other community members who kind of supported them and cheered them on really throughout, you know, 2014 into 2015 to get this started. But the way it came about was those community leaders, led by Mayor Duncan, recognizing that there was already a lot of collaborative work going on in Waco and going on in different areas. And so we were moving from this kind of situation where every organization works, you know, separately or independently, to where we were really thinking collaboratively. But even with that collaborative work, Mayor Duncan and others recognized that even the collaborative work was kind of being done in silos. So we had a lot of great work being done around education with the Greater Waco Education Alliance that Mayor Dupuy led for many years. We had collaborative work beginning to happen in the healthcare field with our hospitals and Family Health Center and Public Health District working together to do a community health needs assessment and think about what are the issues our community faces in terms of public health and how do we all work together to address them.
Right.
And then around poverty, the City Council commissioned a poverty solutions steering committee of community stakeholders to think about how do we identify and address needs related to poverty in our community. So we had these kind of three areas of work, but even they were kind of siloed, kind of walled off. And so the thought was, well, all these things are related to each other. You know, your education level is related to how well you do in terms of jobs and income, and your health affects your ability to hold a job. And we know from research that your education level predicts your health outcomes long term. So all these things are related to each other. How do we pull them all together, knowing that collaborative work is happening in each of these areas, and really, you know, find the best ways to tie all that together and address these things simultaneously?
And it's interesting, and we've looked at other collective impacts and how other cities have done it, and they sometimes focus on just one aspect. Mm-hmm. And so it's really interesting and great of the culture of collaboration that's in Waco, because we noticed you can't just look at one issue like Matthew is just saying. So I like to say Waco decided to go big or go home, because we're trying to tackle education, health, and financial security all in one. So it's really great that everyone's behind the effort. So
yeah, that's a great point, because a lot of collective impact work is done around education. So how do we pull together communities to really have an impact on educational outcomes for kids in the community? And Waco has been doing that since 2006, 2007 with the Education Alliance. And so, like Christina said, we as a community decide to be really ambitious, which is hard. And other people who do this kind of work that we talk to go, wow, right. you're
definite
doing
undertaking.
A lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
good luck. But it's really fun.
And it seems that from what I've read, that the success of collective impact is really hinged on, you know, that community engagement and community support. You know, in fact, that's a huge component of how Prosper Waco operates, is hearing from the community what they're thinking, what their input is. So I'm wondering, how have you been able to reach out to community members to make sure you get kind of an appropriate swath, so to speak, or, you know, just a sampling? How do you make sure that you find out and reach out to those community members?
Yeah, you're right, and you kind of hit it on the head. The community voice is really going to drive this initiative. And so people can sit at this organizational level and think of different projects and strategies that can help address the different goals. But it's really that community voice, like, this is what we need in our community. Mm-hmm. This is how we receive information. This is really what we're looking for. And so we have a community engagement council that consists of grassroots community members, two representatives for North Waco, South Waco, and East Waco. And they go throughout the community and host small, intimate conversations with their neighbors, friends, family members, anyone in their area, and get that real feedback. So this is what these organizations are thinking, and this is what our working groups are thinking. How does this look for you in your area? So it's really interesting. And one example is our community engagement council was talking to East Waco community members of how they best receive information for kindergarten readiness. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting, because they said, we still want that paper. We want to put this on our fridge, and we want that handheld information. And then when we went to North Waco and asked the same question, they said, we don't mind it electronic, but we really need it to be bilingual. So it's interesting, you know, overall, our community can back kindergarten readiness, and they are, but it's interesting how each community is going to best receive that information. So they host monthly small intimate conversations. We participate in community-wide events such as the Hispanic Central Texas Hispanic Chamber. They had a family day expo. And so we do a variety of things just to, A, get the awareness out about Prosper Waco, and mm-hmm. to really have that community voice driving the work.
So it's not just creating the message, but it's also tailoring it to where it would be best received from each kind of like
right,
pocket
exactly.
Community.
That's exactly it.
And there's a model of the collective impact model that we're using here locally on our website, and you know there's a two-sided arrow on the side of it. It talks about the steering committees and the working groups and the community members all being part of the process. But I think a key part of that is the two-directional arrow, which is that communication needs to flow in both directions. Because like Christina said, there are a lot of organizations involved in this, and a big piece of the collective impact idea is that you've got, you know, in a big system and in a community, you've got lots of organizations, lots of pieces of the puzzle doing different things, and they got to talk to each other and figure out how to work together to better serve people. But at the same time, you know, most of us are individuals, you know, think of ourselves as individuals first, right? We're community members. And so that sense of what do I as a community member want or need, and what do different parts of our community want and need, like Christina explained, has to be part of the conversation. And those two pieces, the organizational strategy or conversation and the community conversation, have to inform each other and talk to each other. So it's part of our job as the Backbone Organization to kind of reach out to all those different stakeholders or different players and figure out how do we make sure they're communicating with each other. And it's hard to do. Mm-hmm. We you know, there's no silver bullet, and so we're still working on it. But it's been really informative to talk with folks directly at the community level, and then to talk to folks who are running organizations and elected officials, and just make sure all of those people are helping inform each other.
Mm-hmm. I want to go back maybe about a year ago, before, when you were still formulating those topics or areas that you were going to address. And I'm wondering, what changes have you seen? And I know a year is a short time, but what changes have you seen in that time period that kind of allowed you to say, all right, this is what we need to work towards, or this is what we should focus on? Or was there any changes in Waco that you thought kind of steered or redirected maybe some of those goals you ended up coming with?
I appreciate you saying a year is a short time.
Yeah, I was just going to say that, you know, too.
This type of community work is really big picture, long-term mm-hmm. stuff, and it's hard to, you know, we don't want to make any claims that even a big community initiative like this is going to, you know, change things overnight, but it's about kind of turning that you know, aircraft carrier around slowly but surely. Well, it's important to emphasize that the goals that were established within the Prosper Waco Initiative involved, you know, dozens of community members, organizational leaders working through the steering committee format of the initiative. So it wasn't me or me and Christina or me and our board sitting around saying, well, what should Waco do? The goal from the beginning was to say this needs to be a representative community conversation. So it started with our community a kickoff event last February at the convention center with, you know, 450 or so people kind of starting the conversation, pitching out ideas, and then continued on for several months with steering committee members representing a wide range of organizations and parts of the community, talking about what are the most priority needs for our community. And the other key to it is that it's very data driven. So we didn't just kind of throw things against the wall and see what stuck. We said, what do we know about our community? So what do we know about our community in terms of educational outcomes, and what has the Education Alliance been talking about for years? What do we know about health outcomes in our community through the Community Health Needs Assessment, which is a scientific survey of the community? And then what do we know about, you know, poverty and opportunity in terms of jobs and income from things like the Upjohn report, which is an employment report that the city council commissioned back in 2014. So it was rooted in data and what we knew about our community. And then, you know, we said, okay, as a group of community stakeholders, how do we prioritize these things? And that's how we got to, for example, in education, kindergarten readiness, making sure all kids and families have an opportunity to set their kids up for success when they start school, and then post-secondary success, the idea of, you know, making sure that more of the students in our community have that opportunity to go on, finish high school, go on to college, and complete some type of college certificate or degree. So there are lots of things you could say are important about education, but we knew those two were areas where, you know, we weren't where we wanted to be as a community, and that they were high priority. And so that's where the steering committee said we need to start.
And other areas you're looking at include health and financial security. So can you tell me a little bit about the, I guess, goals that you've included under those umbrellas and what the, I guess, plan is?
Okay. So for health, there are four goals. Three of these goals came directly out of what had been identified from that community health needs assessment, what was already being worked on by that collaborative group that I referred to earlier of, you know, health practitioners, public health officials, and so forth. So access to care is one of those goals in terms of increasing insurance coverage and decreasing the dependence people have on the emergency room as their source of primary care. So making sure people can really get the health care they need when they need it instead of waiting until it's an emergency and ending up in the hospital. Healthy living or obesity. So like many communities in the U.S., the rate of folks who are considered overweight or obese is a challenge in Waco, and that contributes to lots of different health issues. You know, we know that. And then women's health. So knowing that we have a disparity in terms of birth outcomes, meaning that across racial groups, babies are born low weight or preterm more often for certain groups than others, and trying to figure out how to address that in terms of helping women get the care they need, the health care they need, both before they're pregnant and while they're pregnant, and just making sure that women are getting the ongoing care they need to stay healthy. Again, all of that came out of data about our community from the community health needs assessment. And then this is where the community part comes in, because in addition to that, something that the community health needs assessment didn't measure was the issue of mental health. But through this process of convening the community, mental health was identified as something that has a high interest for people in our community. A lot of people are working on, and the community clearly said that is a need for our community. We need to think about, do we have sufficient mental health services? Are people getting access to the mental health care they need? Is there appropriate awareness, and so forth? So that's on the health side. On financial security, the steering committee broke the goals down into three areas, mm-hmm. Employment, income, and wealth. And I kind of like to visualize that as just kind of a stair step. So, you know, it starts with increasing employment opportunities, you know, then increasing opportunities for increased income, and then ultimately helping people really be financially stable for the long term, which involves building their wealth and assets. So on the employment side, we know from that Upjohn employment report from 2014 that youth employment is a challenge for our community. It's very youth unemployment. It's very high in that 16 to 24 year old range. And of course, if youth aren't getting started in jobs, then they have a hard time kind of climbing that, you know, economic ladder. And so we set a goal around increasing youth employment as that employment goal. And then an income, looking at what are the opportunities to increase earning power, earning potential for folks in Waco. And then ultimately, how do we help people increase their savings, increase home ownership rates, and all the things that lead to, you know, building wealth and really being financially stable.
And it's all a pretty massive and substantial undertaking, but I'm sure there are many hurdles in doing all of this. But what's been one of the more, I guess, bigger challenges in doing all of this?
Well, maybe we can each answer from our own perspective, because there are plenty to choose from.
Yes.
You know, one is just helping people understand that this really is a community initiative. These are not like you said, these are big picture long-term goals. So these are not things that we as the Prosper Waco staff or the board of Prosper Waco or, you know, any one group are saying we can make these things happen overnight. The idea is that these are things that, you know, benefit everybody in our community. If we can move the needle on more students having access to college and completing, you know, some type of post-secondary certificate or degree, that's good for those students. It's good for our economy. It's good for the employers in Waco, you know, but it's a big needle to move. And so helping the community understand that this is, you know, there is lots of immediate need that needs to be served now. And we have lots of good organizations and folks who are working on that. But the Prosper Waco Initiative is about thinking big and thinking long term and thinking, how do we take all the assets we have in our community and put the pieces of the puzzle together in a way that will really move the needle on some really big things. So I think the mindset shift was initially a challenge, because you got to think big. Mm-hmm. And you know, for folks who are running different organizations and involved in different organizations, we're asking them to think not only about what they do on a day-to-day basis, but how what they do fits into a bigger strategy for addressing things like school readiness or like, mental health outcomes and those kinds of things.
And then I would say one thing from an operational standpoint is just finding the best time to make sure everyone can be involved in these conversations. So many of our steering committee meetings and work group meetings are during the day, but we really are trying to make everything accessible to the community. So finding time in the evening and then making sure we have childcare for those people who have children to come, dinner, you know, things like that. So really making, because it, as Matthew has said earlier, it really is a community-wide initiative. So making it as accessible for every community member, whether you're in an organization, city elected official, or whatever you may be, to be involved in this initiative, because it really is being driven forward by the community members and by community organizations and partners of the initiative.
And I want to go back to something you were saying, Matthew, about kind of helping to facilitate that almost change in thinking almost. Mm-hmm. But it almost seems, now that I think about it, kind of, starting something like a collective impact, it seems, an immediate benefit to get going and get off the ground is to have good input from a number of community organizations, nonprofits, and just a number of various organizations you can pull from. Mm-hmm. But then that also seems kind of when you get going that it could become kind of like a double-edged sword there, where it's because you have so many now that it's an abundance of – is that kind of a –
Yeah, no, I think that's – I think that's right. I mean that's part of community work is realizing there are lots of voices and lots of different opinions and lots of different perspectives and needs and experiences in the community, both from an organizational standpoint and from an individual standpoint. And that's just, that's why it's hard, difficult, in many cases slow work, because you want to recognize that and you want to value that. And at the same time, you want to give everybody involved a sense that things really are moving forward and things are happening. And this isn't just a bunch of talk that, we get together around a table and talk about stuff and nothing ever happens. And then, it all goes away. So you're right. It's about balancing those two things and making sure that there is a sense that this is owned by the community, by the organizations involved, and by community members. Things are moving forward, and that's part of the logic of having a backbone organization. That's part of our job, and we do it full time, and it's still hard. but we've got great partners. I mean, everybody from our school districts to our colleges and Baylor and the nonprofits in the area and
the hospitals,
yeah. The Chamber of Commerce. I mean, you just go on down the list. I mean, there are great partners who have really bought in and said, we already work hard doing what we do, but we're willing to come to the table and talk about how we take what we do and plug it into a bigger strategy for moving these things forward. And we want to make sure that we're not asking people to do things that are separate from what they do, mm-hmm. but that we want to help organizations and individuals in the community think about how does what I do fit into a bigger picture, and how can I align what I do with a bigger strategy for really having an impact in the community. So that's part of that mindset shift is this, it's not separate from what we're already doing as a community. It's about, we've got all the pieces of the puzzle in the community. It's about kind of putting the pieces of the puzzle together in a new and more impactful way. The other thing I'd say is, part of the the excitement about this is over the last year, we've seen, you know, a couple of other similar initiatives develop in Waco. And you had a great behind the story conversation with Fiona Bond with Creative Waco a while back. And she's not using the term collective impact, but she's doing something very similar to what Prosper Waco is designed to do. Her role is to pull together arts organizations and artists in the community to communicate with each other, to support one another, to present a united front about how Waco is a great place for culture and art, and to work together to achieve, you know, initially a cultural arts district designation, and then, you know, more things beyond that. And you've got Will Phipps and the folks over at the Waco Sports Commission who are working to pull together the assets and resources we have in the community about around sporting events and, you know, those kinds of things. And so it's exciting to see Waco kind of taking this next step forward in multiple areas to be strategic about recognizing that we have lots of great organizations doing lots of things, and we've got lots of great assets in the community, and how do we pull them together and use them all effectively and get everybody working together.
And now the initiative goals we were talking about a little bit earlier, those are goals that are set for 2020. So we'll look at what's happened in, I guess, a span of 4 years or so. What do you is that a good chunk of time, 4 years?
Let's hope.
You know, it's hard to know. I mean, this is big picture stuff. We had to give ourselves somewhere to start. And so, you know, we started this conversation in 2015. So the thought was, you know, we'll give ourselves kind of 5 years. But really, by the time we got off the ground and had the conversation and set the goals, it was practically 2016. So, you know, this is big picture stuff. So there's no, you know, it's just it's misleading to think that we can, you know, set a date on ending poverty or, you know, getting every student to college. I mean, you know, these are things that as a community we'll be working on for years and years. So it's about identifying what we want, the impact we want to have, identifying the needle we want to move, and then over time seeing if the needle's moving in the right direction. And if it's not, then we need to try something else. But if it is, then we can celebrate that success and encourage ourselves that we're doing the right thing.
And to see that needle moving, on our website, which is www.prosperwaco.org, we have a data dashboard. Mm-hmm. And so when the new data comes in from all these different assessments, we place it on our website to see if the needle is moving in the right direction. So I encourage everyone to go look at that to see where we're currently at, what baselines we are at as a community, and then our targeted projections that are based off our goals.
So lastly, what's on the horizon for Prosper Waco going forward?
Yeah, that's great. That's a great question. I'll talk about a couple of things that we have in the works in terms of specific efforts, specific initiatives. And then Christina has a couple of things that I think listeners will be interested in terms of how they can get involved and kind of get up to speed. But just want to talk about very briefly some of the efforts that we have, collaborative efforts that are being done under each of these areas of education, health, and financial security. So within education, many, I think, listeners will have heard of Project Link, which is a collaborative grant funded by the Rappaport Foundation here locally that involves La Vega High School, University High School, MCC, and TSTC. And that is really moving forward. A lot of exciting things coming out of that. This is the first year that the grant staff for that grant have worked directly with students at the high school to get them on the track to college. And we're seeing a lot of good things. But we've been talking about that now for about a year. So something newer that our kindergarten readiness working group is talking about is helping the community get access to an app. It's a free app called Vroom. You know, kind of like you're playing with your kid. Vroom, vroom.
Yeah.
But it was developed by the Bezos Family Foundation, so Jeff Bezos of Amazon, as a name people recognize. And it is focused on child development and getting kids ready for school. And the beauty of it is it's a tool for parents, no matter what their education level, no matter what their, you know, income, to just think about ways that they can interact with their child from the time they're born to the time they start school that help them get ready for school, help their brain develop, help them develop emotionally and intellectually. And it's simple stuff. It's about interacting with your kid. It's about using things you have around your house to help your child have experiences that help them learn. And this is the kind of community collaborative effort that doesn't cost a lot of money that can be really effective. And so we have multiple organizations who are saying, this is a great tool for the parents that we work with in our organization or for the parents in our community. And so they're working together to collaboratively push that out and make the community aware of that and to really build a campaign for parents to download that app and use it with their kids and talk about it and so forth. And so it sounds simple, but it's the type of simple thing that if the community as a whole embraces it could be really, really impactful in moving that needle of having kids ready to go for school when they walk through the door at four or five years old.
And I'll also mention that it is in English and Spanish, so it's really accessible bilingual for the entire community, which I think is great.
Yeah. On the health side, right now there's staff at the Public Health District with the blessing of the City Council who are working on developing a plan for what's called a community health worker program. And that is a model for educating and empowering community members around health issues. So not turning them into doctors and nurses, but helping them understand the healthcare system, helping them understand some of the most important issues related to health and how you get the care you need, and then empowering them to work with people in their family, in their neighborhood, in their church to better understand the healthcare system and better access the care they need. And the cool thing about it is you train up those community members, and then you connect them to the healthcare system. You connect them to the clinics and the hospitals. So there's a conversation between the professionals and community members that starts to point people in the right direction and get people connected to care so that they don't end up in the emergency room for something that they really could have gotten taken care of at the doctor's office easily. And so that's a great collaborative program that should help move the needle on our community health. And then lastly, on the financial security side, we have a great ongoing working group of our local social service agencies working with job placement agencies, with employers to talk about how do we create a network for people who are looking for work and the organizations who work with those people to better connect them to available job opportunities through staffing agencies, through employers who are looking to hire, and then to support them while they're on the job. And we're really putting structure around how that works so that the social service support agencies are talking directly to the employers in the community about what does it take for people to get the jobs that are out there, what does it take for them to be successful in those jobs, and how do we support them so that more people are working, staying on the job, we're reducing turnover, which benefits the employer, benefits the employee, benefits the community. And that's called the Waco Foundational Employment Network, which is a great example of how you take multiple organizations doing what they do, get them together to all build on each other's success to have a greater impact. So those are some of the specific projects that are coming out of this initiative that involve lots of different partners, but drive directly towards the goals that have been set.
And then different ways that people can get involved. So previously I mentioned our Community Engagement Council. If you'd like to speak with them about anything, any ideas you have or thoughts or concerns, you can send them an email at community@prosperwaco.org and they will reply and get in touch with you and have a conversation. You can also, if you would like to become a mentor, studies have proven that mentoring is very effective in bridging that gap between high school graduation and college and then getting jobs. So there's an organization called the Mentor Coalition, and it's a variety of mentoring organizations. And so you can go to our website and click Get Involved to learn more about the Mentor Coalition and see each organization has specific ages that they mentor or time commitments. It's kind of whatever best fits your needs or passions you can find there. You can also volunteer and just give back to the Waco community. There's countless opportunities in our community to give back, which you can also find on our website. And then lastly but not least, you can subscribe to our newsletter. We have a monthly newsletter that is sent out, and you can go to our website, and in the upper right-hand corner, you can subscribe there.
Well, perfect.
Yeah.
I think, yeah. I mean, mentoring is one example of where there are multiple organizations in the community doing it. And we're pulling together those organizations to talk to each other, to be strategic about how they're serving the community. But it also just gives community members out there who are looking to volunteer a framework for, gosh, how can I get involved in a way that will really have an impact on the community? Well, you know what? The Mentor Coalition is a great way to do it. You know, like Christina said, there's a list of lots of different organizations that are doing mentoring. But by joining any one of those organizations, you know, you are contributing towards a bigger effort. And that's what the Prosper Waco Initiative is about, is all of us understanding how does what I do contribute to a bigger effort that's having an impact in our community.
And there are a couple Prosper Waco events coming up for the community to get involved in, right?
One is on April 19th, so coming up soon, which is a collaborative event that Prosper Waco is hosting with the P20 Council, which is an educational collaborative of ISDs and higher ed educators in the community. And it's a State of Education in the Heart of Texas is the name of that. So it's a symposium at the MCC Conference Center on April 19th from 11 to 1:30. So it's kind of an extended lunch. And it's just $15, but lots of good information about what's going on in terms of improving education in Waco. And the keynote speaker will be Jimmy Don Acock, who's the chair of the Texas House of Representatives Education Committee. You know, somebody who's in the middle of things in Austin in terms of education issues will be talking to community members there. So folks can register through the Region 12 website there. www.esc12.net. And then we definitely want folks to put on their calendar September 19th, so several months from now, from 4 to 8 p.m. at the Waco Convention Center. That'll be Prosper Waco's annual event. So that's something that is open to the community, no charge. As of now, there's no charge.
Right, yeah, there's no charge. And if you haven't been previously involved, there'll be a session called Prosper Waco One-on-One to kind of get you up to date in the background. And then we'll also be talking about the cross-sector collaborative projects that are going on and just the great work that we've accomplished since the inaugural event last year. So.
Perfect. And by we mean the community.
Right, right, exactly.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Right. So that's just another opportunity to get further spur that engagement.
Absolutely.
Community engagement.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Perfect. Well, thank you all for talking with us today.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you.
That was Prosper Waco's Executive Director, Matthew Polk, and Director of Communication, Christina Helmick. To hear this episode and past episodes of Behind the Story, you can visit our website at kwbu.org.